Okay, so today we're going to kind of carry on here. So actually my goal is to get through verse 12 by next week. So we're going to go basically 5 through 8 today. We've done some of this before last week. And then we're going to go through 12. I'm going to give Mike a chance to speak for 1 week only. But I'm going to come back. I have this all planned out because my son's coming from Florida with his girlfriend. So he asked me, I might as well just tell you. Yeah, he says, Dad, would you speak on the day my girlfriend's here? Don't tell her I told you this. You're joking. You can tell her if you want. I said, sure, I'll be happy to. So anyway, she's checking out the family. So we have to make a good impression. So hopefully I'll make a good impression. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway. Okay, so this section we're going to talk about glorifying God by having unity of mind or one mind or the same mind. And we kind of peeked into that last week a little bit. Just an incredible topic. And actually, Jim was kind of right. There are parts of the first in Philippians there that talk about this unity of mind, the same mind. And that's God's desire for the body of Christ, to be of the same mind. He's not stamping out cookie-cutter Christians. He's stamping out a people that know his mind. And they know his mind not by some mysterious method, but by his word and the Holy Spirit revealing the person of Christ to them. That's the way God works. So Paul's going to talk about that. How do we have this unity of mind? And we've been going through this long expose, starting back in 14, about the weak and the strong believer. And like I said before, everybody is a, you know, raise your hand if you're a weak believer. Nobody's going to raise their hand, right? But there, I kind of thought, well, you know, in reality, we all are weak and strong in areas, because it's the difference between the weak and the strong, from what Paul's been teaching, is that it's the one who knows the scriptures. So you say, well, sure, you and Mike have it all cornered, right? You know it all, right? We don't, as you find out, we don't know it all. So, and we're all learners. We're learning about the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, let's go. So this outline is from Constable. So he has this first section, 1 through 12. We talked about the folly of judging one another, the weak and the strong believer. The evils of offending one another. And then last week, we kind of peeked in this idea of pleasing one another. And it's not so much I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy, you know, all my brothers and sisters lunch every week. I'm going to mow their lawn. I'm going to wash their clothes. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about building them up in the faith, encouraging them in the faith, maturing them in the faith. That's what pleasing one another is about. But now we're going to get in the idea of he's gone from pleasing to accepting one another. We're going to talk about that in verse 7. And then 8 through 12 is kind of a unique section, talks about Israel, and then we'll talk about the Gentiles and kind of carrying on that theme. But we've gone from pleasing, we're going to review that a little bit today, and then accepting the ones in the faith. And then lastly, when we get past 5:14, all the way through to the end, plus 16 is what's called a conclusion. And actually, there's some cool things in there. We're going to spend, you know, a couple months in that last section. There's some cool things along the way there. So that's where we're going. So let's go back and look at two key words from last week. So the first key word is this hupomone, perseverance, steadfastness, endurance. And I kind of come to the conclusion, this is almost like a mindset that you acquire as you read God's word, as you believe and trust in what God has said, and he proves himself to you, that he is able to do what he's promised to do. So the idea is that the verb form of this is hupomeno, and it comes from the word abide, like in Romans 6, a lot of cool words about abiding in Christ. This is hupo, it's intensified form. It's to remain under. It's literally to remain under where you're at in your life in a God-honoring way and to learn the lessons he has for you. This is from Wiest. Rather than attempting to get out from them in an effort to get away, to relieve the pressure. And I can't say I'm an expert at this. I'm like you. I don't like to be under pressure. I don't like to have things going awry. I like to have things very smooth, but that doesn't happen in life, right? We have myriads of things that happen to us. And so what he's telling us here, perseverance is a characteristic of God, we're going to see, but it's to be a characteristic of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it comes about by knowing him and his word. The second word is encouragement. And this word, I think I heard Jim talking this morning a little bit, it reminds you of the word for the paraclete, for the Holy Spirit. It's a form of that word. It's a calling to one's aid, to call beside, literally. And it's the idea that the scriptures are an exhortation, an encouragement, and a comfort. So all of scripture is to kind of come along our side. All of scripture is actually exhortation and admonishment for the purpose of strengthening us and establishing us in the faith. And then last week we found this little cool word. I'm not sure I can pronounce it, but anyway, it's a translation of our, O-U-R, and it's this word that is the idea of we can look at the scriptures, even though we have God's word, and it's the same, we each have the same Bible, may have a different translation, but it's the same word. Scripture talks, and Paul talks about, it's personally written to you individually. So God's word, even though read by everyone the same words, is for you individually. It's an incredible idea that is individually and personally to you. God is writing personally to you in his word. So when you read the Bible, don't think so much, well, this is for, you know, so-and-so must understand this better than me. God's talking to you individually. Okay, those are the two, perseverance and encouragement. So let's go on. So today's verses, from last week, we just peeked into these verses last week. Now may the God who gives perseverance, that's the abiding under, and encouragement grant to you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that, or with the purpose that, with one accord, you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then 7 and 8 say, therefore, conclusion, therefore, accept one another. Here's the accept. We were to please one another. We're to accept one another, just as Christ also accepted you to the glory of God. Then 8 kind of starts into this dialogue about Israel and the Gentiles. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcised on the behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers. Okay, so first of all, let's look from last week. Here's one of my, Bob W. told me this morning that he likes outlines, and Roger, you like diagrams. And I agree with that. Amen. I like diagrams. And these diagrams are based on what nobody likes, sentence diagrams. This is Roger's form of a sentence diagram that I can understand. Okay, here we go. And it's as much for me as for you. So let's start so 5 and 6 is one sentence. So it starts off now. So this is Paul's desire. The God of perseverance and encouragement. So what's interesting is here, before we talked about perseverance and encouragement being something we obtain from the scriptures, we obtain from God's word. Now Paul turns around in verse 5 and says, oh, by the way, those characteristics are God's characteristics. That's who God is. He's the God of perseverance. He's the God of encouragement. That's a characteristic of God. And this kind of reinforcing that, it also describes God's character. It came to us through the scriptures. It also describes God's character. So that's the subject, rather along what's called the complete subject. So the verb here is give or grant, and is modified by to you. So the God of perseverance and encouragement gives or grants to you, the believer, to think, to be minded. God wants, he wants a thinking. He wants thinkers. Are minded. That's the core word is this word phroneo in the Greek, and it's continuous action, to continually think, continually minded. He wants our minds to be continually going. I think somebody pointed out that your mind never really stops, right? It's always going, right? Until you go to sleep, and then you're dreaming, right? So your mind's always going. Either you're dreaming or you're awake. It's churning away. Well, he wants us to be focused, that mind to be focused on him, right? And even more than that, he wants it to be the same. He wants your mind to be focused on the same thing, and we're going to see how that works out. So, the God of perseverance and encouragement gives to you, the believer, to think or to be minded the same thing. He wants to be, we say, on the same page, right? Okay? And it's among one another, among the body of believers, or among the weak and the strong. And it's just not, okay, I convinced Bob W. that I'm right and he's wrong, and he agrees with me. No, I convinced him that Jesus Christ is right, and he says, amen, brother. I'll agree to that. So that's what it's about. It's according to Jesus Christ. I'm picking on Bob here. He picks on Wayne, I'm going to pick on Bob. So, and Wayne's giving me the thumbs up there. Okay. All right. And it has a purpose. So all this has a purpose, and the purpose modifies the verb. The purpose of all this is, and here's a neat case where I missed it last week. It's, and Margaret can identify with this, it's not just you, it's y'all. It's you all. It's plural. Y'all hear that? Y'all. Y'all may glorify, all believers may glorify. And here's another thing just neat. I keep studying. And this is a Merriman thing. Unanimously, in or with one mouth. And the reason we want to do that, unanimously in one mouth, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just back up and say this again. We'll just go through the whole thing. The God of perseverance and encouragement give to you to think or to be minded the same thing among one another, not what we think, according to Christ Jesus, that you all unanimously, in one mouth, may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think I may have left out the may. Anyway. So that's the goal. That's 5 and 6 together in a nutshell. So now we're going to go down and look a little more detail here, but that's the big picture of 5 and 6. Okay, so let's look at the first part. So this is the subject. Now the God and Father are perseverance, and actually there's definite articles there, the perseverance and the encouragement. This is from Constable. He kind of took a little bit different tack and said, hey, you know, by the way, you could look at those perseverance and encouragements as spiritual gifts. It sounded, I think that's certainly reasonable. Perseverance and encouragement come to us through the scriptures, but they are spiritual gifts from God. Paul wishes or desires that all his readers, the strong and the weak, would appropriate these gifts. And that forms the complete subject of 5 and 6. So Paul's prayer is, and this is kind of Merriman calls this indirect discourse. And you think, wow, that sounds like a really kooky little thing. There's something called direct discourse or indirect discourse. So if I pray to God directly, that's called direct discourse. If I say, Dear Heavenly Father, please bless Holly Hills, that's direct discourse. But if I say to Mike, I've been praying to God about Holly Hills, that's indirect discourse. So that's what Paul's doing here. He's telling the believers, he's praying to God about them. So that's called indirect discourse. So maybe anyway, it's interesting. All right, so this little phrase here is indirect discourse. All right, so let's go on. So now we get to the verb, and this is a verb plus down to according to Christ Jesus. Give to you, so I use the interlinear just because it was a little bit easier to work with, to give to you to think the same thing among one another according to Christ Jesus. We saw the big overview of that. Give to you or grant to you, and so the modifier is to you. Give us a verb. And to think, here we get a little bit. To think gives us more information about this verb. He wants give to you to think, to be minded, to fix your mind upon. And actually, if you know something about English or grammar, that's called an infinitive, because it has a to. So that gives us more information about the main verb, to think. It completes the verb. So Paul is telling us, his hearers, that he is praying to God about them. And then this infinitive has an object. And the object is, we just talked about it, the object of to think is the same thing. He wants us to think the same thing. So that's kind of the nitty-gritty of what we just covered. So Paul is praying that they, the strong and the weak, will fix their minds on the same thing. Like I mentioned, that doesn't happen. It only can happen, and we're going to see, according to the Lord, among one another, and among the body of believers. He wants us all, as collective body of believers, to be thinking the same thing. And Merriman says this is a priority in building up one another. And that's why we study God's Word. That's why we get together. That's why we have multiple Bible studies. not just to be, you know, socializing all the time, which is great, but to understand God's word, and we'll be on the same page as we interact with the Lord. So let's go on here. According to, like I mentioned, according to, so this is kind of a little interesting thing about this, and this is something that we've covered before. According to is this little preposition called kata. It's a preposition that expects a norm or a standard. Sounds a little bit heavy there. So this preposition, according to, expects a norm or a standard. So what follows this preposition will be the norm or the standard. So that's pretty cool. The norm or the standard is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's according to Christ Jesus. It's according to his norm and standard. Okay? And that's a merriman. So we see that this norm or standard is Christ Jesus. So I had Merriman shared a couple of examples. I'm sure you could fill a lot more. So a couple of examples of Christ Jesus, norm and standard. Christ, he says many times in the Gospels, Christ always did the will of the Father. Always says, I always do what I see the Father doing. That was his norm or standard. That's what Christ did. That's who he was. He was God's Son. He also said he always glorified the Father. He never put him to shame. He always glorified the Father. And then this list could keep going. I stopped there. But anyway, you could add more to that list. A couple of related verses. In Romans 12, 6a, it says, same admonition from Paul, be of the same mind toward one another. Then in Philippians has a lot here. Philippians 2:2a, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. So we're going to see this idea of having the same mind as the body of Christ brings great glory to God, because he is demonstrating not only to the body of believers, but to the world, here are a group of people saved by grace, and they come to know me, and they walk with me because they realize who I am and what I've done, and their minds change. They've been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So then verse 6 is the last half of this sentence. I forgot the period. Sorry, Bonnie. We should have put the period there. My fault. Okay. That, with the purpose that, with one accord, this is another one of these, we have multiple same mind words, another kind of same mind word, homothamos, same mind. And this is where Merriman, I hadn't heard this before, he kind of shared, he thought the best rendering of the same mind in this case is unanimously. So he used that in his translation. So I kind of went along with him. So that with one accord, this unanimously in one mouth, collectively the body of Christ, unanimously in one mouth. But if we look back to the first verse 5, right, the first part is, you must be minded in the same way according to Jesus Christ. Then you can move to this glorifying God in one mouth. Well, we'll say the same thing, not because I memorized what all you guys have said or you memorized what I've said. It's because we are related to Christ Jesus and have his spirit. We say the same thing unanimously. Pretty cool stuff. The Christian life has to do with your mind, what you think. And this is critical. We actually had a class several years ago. We called it knowing who you are in Jesus Christ. Knowing who you are is critical. If you don't know who you are, then you won't act properly. You won't know, you know, not because you act badly, because you won't know what you have. That's much of the problem. So what you do flows about who you are. It's critical to know who you are in Jesus Christ. And then here's Merriman's complete translation of this, of verse 6. That y'all, may glorify unanimously in one mouth the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just read it again. That you all may glorify unanimously in one mouth the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty amazing verse. Okay, so that was review. Well, the first part wasn't. The first part was. The last part was more detail. That's pretty cool stuff. So let's go on. So actually, some other verses, just to, I haven't quite finished here. Other verses that have the one-minded or same mind. Acts 14a. And it says in the context, the disciples plus some others, so the disciples all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer. In Acts 15:25, it seemed good to us, the apostles, having become of one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. So you get the flavor is that Scripture talks about as a body we're to be of this one mind, and that shapes how we make decisions, what we do. And the early church, you know, is showing there. Then other verses, and we kind of had this already, I think. Be of the same mind to one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associated with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. And then Corinthians had the cool one. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and there's no divisions among you, but that you are to be made complete in the same mind and same judgment. So that's God's desire, the same mindedness. And it comes through knowing Him and knowing His Word. Okay, so now, new verse for today, 15:7, starts off with therefore. So this is the conclusion. Therefore, you, the strong and the weak, that's the subject, accept, and we're to continually accept, not just occasionally. Maybe I'm a little bit easier, right? I'll just accept my brother or sister occasionally, right? Some days I won't, some days I will. And I'll accept you. We accept them continually. You, the strong or weak, accept one another continually. Just as, so now he's going to make a comparison. Just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Pretty straightforward sentence, right? Subject, verb, object, and a couple modifiers. So the logic here is Christ accepted us, so we should accept our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and it's to God's glory. So a couple of points. If you look back, you know, Paul's doing a summary, a conclusion. You look way back to 14:1, and in this case, he had the stronger believer now accept the one who is weak, implying the one who's speaking is the stronger in the faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinion. So now we've had all this teaching, right? 14:1, all those verses. Now we're to 15:7. He says, "Oh, now I'm going to change it and maybe make it more." Hope you've grown in this process, in this reading. Now Paul says, "Accept one another." So both the strong and the weak are to accept one another, not just the strong accepting the weak are to accept the strong. So it reflects his teaching on the weak and the strong believer. Okay, so let's look at a couple of points about this. Accept one another. Looking back to 14:1, as I mentioned. Same verb. So it says proslambano, to take, a very, very tender word, to take to oneself. Present tense. Imperative, God's will, middle voice for our benefit. So what Vine says is signifying a special interest on the part of the receiver, suggesting a welcome. And then the Malloy says a warm and tender welcome. So it's a very we're warmly accepting our brothers and sisters in the Lord. One another, the weak or the strong. Merriman shares mutually receiving and fellowship. So that's, we're accepting one another. Now he's going to justify that. And he does that by saying, just as, and this just as can be translated as, or even as, or inasmuch as. I like Merriman's translation, in like manner. So we're to accept one another in like manner as Christ also accepted us, the believers. We're to do it in like manner. Accept, and this is the word accept here. As I mentioned before, take to oneself. So in this case, in the previous case, same word, but in this case, it looks to the event. How did Christ accept us? Or how was he able to accept us, right? Well, he had to go to the cross. That was an event. So eris is an event. So it looks to an event, Christ's death on the cross. So I found this through Wiest. There says, God and Christ are said to have received those who formerly were estranged. You know, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, remember? So he accepted us in that place based upon Christ's death on the cross. They, the estranged, have been reunited to God and Christ by the blessing of the gospel. When they believe the gospel, they could become part of God's family, and that was to God's glory. Okay, so there's the details on that verse. So now 15:8, same kind of, I'm gonna do a diagram. No outlines, just diagrams, Bob. Okay. It starts off, "For this reason, I, Paul, say, Christ has become a servant." Pretty straightforward. I say Christ, in this case, everything's kind of packed into the last part of this subject and verb, or I say, and then the last part is like the object. Christ has become a servant. And become here is a cool word in the Greek. It's to come into a new state of being. You know, Christ, we look in eternity past with God the Father, they decided that Christ would die on the cross for us. So he came into a new state of being. He came to be a servant, right? And it's going to talk about how he did that. On behalf of the truth of God, based upon what God the Father and God the Son decided in eternity past, to the circumcision, to Israel. So God's first encounter, not God's first encounter, God the Son's encounter was with the circumcised, the nation of Israel, so as to confirm the promises given to the Father. So that's why some translations use Messiah, speaking of Israel, right? That was the promise of the Messiah. Messiah was going to come and make things right. They misunderstood that, to a large part. So we see that, we'll see it in Matthew a couple times. It says, in Matthew 15:24, it says, "But he, Christ, answered and said, I was sent only," underline only, "to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So this verse is telling us about that Christ, and this is, and what Macaulay says, I had not thought about this, is verse 8 is a summary of Christ's earthly ministry. You think, wow, that's pretty brief, Roger. It is pretty interesting. Macaulay considers this a summary of Christ's earthly ministry. I, Paul, say Christ has come into a new state of being as a servant on behalf of the truth of God to the circumcision, Israel, so as to confirm the promises given to the Father. Pretty cool verse, right? So what's going to happen now, after this verse, we're going to start into verses about the Gentiles. We're going to see, how the Gentiles come into play. We know the story if we read our Bibles, but how the Gentiles get involved. This is God's plan. He came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But that's not the end of the story, right? We'll see more next week. Okay, so one final thought. Let's go back to our mindedness. I couldn't get away from that topic. So let's look at Philippians 2:5 in the King James. Philippians 2:5, you have a King James Bible. It says, "Let this mind, phroneo, be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." And you know, in New American Standard, it says "have this" rather than "let this." So the first word, this injunction, this is from, who's it from, Roger? I'll think in a minute. I'll tell you in a second who it's from. We'll just keep going. The first word of this injunction, "let" or "have this," is especially illuminating. This "let" or "have this" suggests the outworking of the mind of Christ will be produced in the believer by another, by the Holy Spirit. And that the believer's responsibility is that of letting or allowing the mind of Christ via God's word. Such an exalted mind can never be produced by the believer, nor can be maintained by him. This is from Chafer. So his point here is that this mind of Christ is not something you decide, well, I think it's pretty cool. I think I'll have the mind of Christ today. No, no way. The only way you get that is by, in God's word, understanding what he said, and then the Holy Spirit shows you these truths, and then as those truths become you, who you are. Christ in me, the hope of glory. He lives his life through you. His life is your life. His mind becomes your mind. So pretty amazing stuff. So let's just close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your plan and your purposes, Father. Thank you that we get to understand the things that men never understand. On this planet, only few understand this, Lord, so much about our Savior, so much about so much about Israel, Lord. We understand so much more about Israel than most people do, and understand that you're going to preserve it no matter how you do it, through whatever way, until the end times come, Lord, and you will, and it says all Israel will be saved at that point, Lord. I mean, just amazing. Your plans and purposes cannot be thwarted. We thank you for your word. In Christ's name, amen.